Tim Yorty makes the music of Brave Machine. It's good to have you here on The Antidote, Tim.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed listening to your show, and I'm happy to be here.
It's history time. Tim, you got to tell us, when did you first become interested in making music?
I was a teenager, a young teenager, and I grew up in a household where music wasn't allowed.
Oh, really?
My parents were influenced by Christian thought music with a beat was worldly. And so we had Steve Green in our house and we had Sandy Patty in our house, and that was it. And my sister, who was a few years older than me, when she started, you know, getting into her teen years, she started listening to other music, and I got exposed to some of that. And so some of the first music I heard that was outside of, you know, Steve Green and Sandy Patty, and of course, you know, church hymns and things like that, was the Newsboys' Not Ashamed album. Mm-hmm. That opened up a whole new world in my mind. And then PFR's Great Lengths album, which same thing, just the melodies and harmonies on both those albums, the production is just, it just lit something inside my brain that's when I decided I wanted to do that.
Well, let's carry on with a Brave Machine song that gets into that.
Sure.
We Were Just Kids brings in the line, "I'll turn the other cheek," while mixing up rock with the classic hymns. Our hearts were for Jesus, and this was our anthem. So is that true? Like, you've always been a Christian?
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church 3 times a week. I went to a Christian school. I would say that I accepted Christ from a very young age. And then, like most people, or like everybody, that's got to become real, and you got to make your faith your own. And I was a young teenager when that, I would say, sort of a more real conversion experience happened. And yeah, that's kind of been my path ever since. Not that I haven't made mistakes along the way, of course. We Were Just Kids. That song was sort of inspired by real experiences growing up in church. And the church I grew up in, I loved it, and they taught the Bible. There was great people there, but like any church, there was issues as well. There was church politics. In the second verse of the song, I talk about fighting with a PK, which, for those who don't know, stands for pastor's kid. And that actually happened one time behind the church. So yeah, that was a fun song to do.
You didn't tell us who won, the PK or Tim Yorty?
Some older kid came in and took the side of the PK. Unfortunately, I lost.
You were talking about the music that you first started to listen to. So obviously, you're telling us what era you're from.
Sure, yep.
What was it about your parents? Why did they decide that some Christian music was okay, but other Christian music was maybe not so okay?
Yeah, there was, in the late 80s, early 90s, I guess, there was these Christian public figures that put out a lot of publications and things kind of saying how evil Christian music was, like the Christian rock music and such. And my parents were influenced by that, like a lot of people were. And it took a while to get past that, I guess. I wanted to play guitar for a year before I got brave enough, funny with a band name, before I got brave enough to say something to my parents. And thankfully, they supported me learning guitar and bought me my first bass guitar. They've always been very supportive, in spite of me, you know, making a lot of music that isn't really their thing.
Well, there was something else that came up in We Were Just Kids, the song. It speaks about rock music, but the music of Brave Machine isn't just rock. It's pop, it's synth pop, and old school pop punk. Why go with a mix of styles?
Yeah, that's going to require a long answer. So when I first started doing Brave Machine, it wasn't meant to be a solo project. It was with a buddy of mine named Joe Wanger. And you can still hear him doing some of the background vocals on some of the songs from my first album. He unfortunately had to pull out of the project pretty early on just because of family obligations, which was fine. But so it was meant to be like a pop punk project. And when he pulled out of it, it kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't know what to do then. I'd been writing all these pop punk songs, and now it felt weird doing them as a solo artist. And now, a few years later, I'm past that. I'll just make whatever music I feel like. But at the time, it started me shifting things. So the first song that I put out after he had left, actually the first song released as Brave Machine was Flirting with Disaster. That song started as just straight up pop punk. And the feedback I got from my friend Joe was it just was kind of generic. And I kind of took that to heart. And so that's when I rewrote the music on it. And I added all these synthesizers into it. And it just became a completely different thing. And so that's why on that first album, especially, you hear this mix of pop punk and synth pop and just straight up pop. And in the songs I've released since then, it really is still a mix of all those things, because I'm enjoying doing both.
Something else that I find about your music is that you bring in a faith aspect pretty clearly, especially on songs like Come With Me If You Want to Live. Is that the role of Brave Machine, to evangelize?
You know, I write songs about what's on my heart, and sometimes that's faith-based things, and sometimes it's just personal stuff, and sometimes it's just silly things. So Come With Me If You Want to Live, that line, Come With Me If You Want to Live, is a quote from Terminator.
Right.
To me, the idea of using it as what Christ tells us, you know, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, that was such a cool concept to me. So yeah, certain songs, they're going to be more evangelistic in nature, and other ones are just silly, like the song Captain Cake Punch. It's about a superhero who his only power is he punches cakes to get people out of parties they don't want to be at.
Well, let's get into that. There's that pair of songs from Brave Machine that really have a weird kind of connection. Flirting with Disaster, saying, "You're flirting with disaster. You should know better." She's super in a villain kind of way. And then you have the true superhero, Captain Cake Punch. So now I have to know something. Are you negotiating with Marvel for a Captain Cake Punch movie?
You know, if I had any sort of artistic skills, I'd love to make a comic book of Captain Cake Punch and Disaster. But it's going to have to be on hold for now.
Oh, you've disappointed me. Okay, that's it. I guess we're done our talk. But that also makes me curious about this. Does Brave Machine play shows, or are you keeping this as a studio kind of thing?
Right now, it's just a studio kind of thing. Playing shows is always in the back of my mind. When I was younger in a different band, we played a lot of shows, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of stress, too, of course. It's a lot of work doing shows, but it was a lot of fun. Something I've found as I've gotten older, the older you get, the less people continue with music. And so the people who maybe play the supporting roles in the band and weren't necessarily the songwriters, there's less of them still doing music. And specifically in the Christian world, if they are doing music, a lot of them are involved in church worship teams. And that can be a big time commitment. So, you know, if you've got a career and a family and you're committed to a church worship team, you probably don't have time for a band on the side. Like, I'm a worship leader myself. I'm a worship leader at my church, and that's, I love it. But I think in certain sense, we've lost something in the Christian music world, that there's a lot less independent bands out there because, you know, everybody's busy.
Talking about that, I did a bit of research on you. Weren't you involved with like a cowboy church?
Oh, wow. You really did your research. I was the worship leader at a cowboy church for a little over a year, I think. And that was an experience. Playing worship music, all our church services were in a horse arena. So, you know, all the equipment would get dirty every Sunday, of course. And we'd be starting the service, and this tractor trailer would pull up almost every Sunday to unload a load of bulls that had gone somewhere to a rodeo the night before. So there's all this amazing racket going on, and you're trying to, you know, focus on the surface. But yeah, that was an experience for sure.
Oh, why not? I mean, there's biker church, there's metal church. Why not cowboy church?
Yeah, it's great to serve that community. You know, I can remember one Sunday specifically, we played some worship song, and the pastor asked me to play it again, and I said I couldn't because my chord sheet had blown away on the opposite side of a fence. It was gone.
But that style of music has never come into your stuff.
Well, yeah, I do a side project that's more silly music that I kind of keep separate from Brave Machine. The songs are all just silly. There's not too much meaning to it. But that more of cowboy and folk style comes in more with that. And of course, like I said, I still lead worship on Sundays, not at a cowboy church anymore, but I sometimes get accused of playing songs in a cowboy style, even though I'm not trying.
It's just in your blood now.
It must be, you know.
A little bit earlier, I was mentioning about how much of the music of Brave Machine is Christian content, but not all of the songs do that. You know, it can also be pretty opinionated, like how you target the internet on All Hail the Experts, where it says, those social media gurus are spreading all the fake news. We could blame it on ourselves, but that doesn't feel right. You know, you've got it so right. The thing is, though, that you can't avoid the internet, so who can you trust?
Yeah, that's a tough one. you're referencing All Hail the Experts, but lately, I just keep coming back to my latest song, The Madness of the Age, because things just seem so crazy in the world. And there's so much negative stuff out there on social media. And for me as a Christian, I try so hard not to get involved in it. And I fail at that sometimes. But I wasn't put here on this earth to argue with someone on the internet about some stupid political thing. I'm here to share the gospel. I'm here to love people. And we as Christians so often lose sight of that when we get involved in petty stuff on social media and things. And at the end of my life, I don't want my legacy to be that I won some argument on social media, you know?
And you're not very active on social media.
Yeah, that's not a good thing when you're trying to build an audience, is it?
So what really drove you to write that song?
So that song was written, I want to say it was written 2019, and I think it came out in 2021. So it was a long time in the making, and it was, yeah, seeing all the arguments on social media, and you've got one side blaming each other. You've got everybody wants to blame the Russians for something, and this was before they invaded Ukraine. So I felt really bad. I released that song, and then they invaded Ukraine. Like, oh man, it sounds like I'm sort of making excuses for them. That's not the point of the song. it's just the politicians and the media people and people on social media, they're always looking for, you know, some boogeyman to blame for our problems. And sometimes we really just need to look at ourselves.
That's it. You've got that right. You know, a little bit earlier when I was speaking about your music style, I have to tell you something. It's that whenever I listen to All Hail the Experts, the harmony leaves me thinking of the Beach Boys every time I hear it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Now, that has me wondering what kind of bands might have influenced you.
You know, like I said early on, Newsboys and PFR were kind of like those bands that got me into this music in general. Mm-hmm. As I got a little bit older, Five Iron Frenzy was certainly a big part of what I listened to, MXPX a little bit. Beach Boys was definitely not it, though. I've tried a few times to listen to their music. It just doesn't grab onto me. It's funny. I don't hear Newsboys influence in my music. I don't hear PFR influence in my music. Sometimes I'll hear a little bit of Five Iron Frenzy, like on the bridge of the song Captain Cake Punch. I hear a little bit of Five Iron Frenzy there, maybe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with some of my production decisions, I'll hear a little bit of Reliant K. But yeah, it's always a tricky question.
Well, like Captain Cake Punch, that would be a natural song for FIF.
Yeah, sure. even on The Madness of the Age, the latest one, that the guitar solo on that was originally horns, and then I took it out and changed it to guitar because I'm not a ska band, so it'd be cool to have it in there, but I just didn't feel like it made sense for Brave Machine, you know?
Well, why don't we get into that song, The Madness of the Age?
Sure.
Bombarded on every side by a culture obsessed with arrogance and pride, we are a people lost in confusion of hedonistic self-delusion. I want to challenge you there. Couldn't a non-believer say that Christians are also lost in confusion?
Oh, for sure. I mean, just look at us. You know, there's a reason why we've got, you know, what, 12,000 different denominations or something. There's a reason why you've got Christians who say you can't be a Christian and vote for a Democrat, or you can't be a Christian and vote for Donald Trump. Like, we're all over the place. And I think, again, it just comes back to, we're not focused on what we're supposed to be focused on, which is Christ. And we're not focused on what we're supposed to be focused on here on this earth, which is sharing the gospel and loving people and taking care of the poor and the widows. And, you know, we're focused on all these arguments of which politician is going to get to these goals for us, instead of, you know, what are we doing with the Christian life we're supposed to be living? And those lines about a world in confusion and stuff, I mean, there's so many, especially young kids, that they're so confused about the core of who they are. You know, they're questioning their very identity, and the world's not giving any answers. You know, it's not good.
But then again, it's always been said that young people aren't interested in politics. Is that true?
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to answer that one. You see the microcosm of social media, but if you're on Twitter, for example, kids aren't necessarily on Twitter, though. You know, for all the political arguments that take place on there, it's not the kids on there. They're on Snapchat or TikTok or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if that carries over, if the politics is there as much.
Are you and I the only ones left on Twitter?
I don't think so, but there sure is a lot of angry talking heads on there. And I love that platform and I hate it. I love it because you can see so many different points of view, and I hate it because, boy, you really see the worst of humanity sometimes on there.
I have so many questions about so many of your songs. You made my job very easy. You know, there is something that I enjoy is how you can switch from having an obvious message on some songs to being pretty cryptic on others. And you find that coming out on Dark Planet.
Yeah. Dark Planet is the most deeply personal song I've released as Brave Machine. I've not told anybody the meaning behind it. I'm happy to share the meaning behind pretty much any of my songs, but I've kept that one to myself. And I think I like it that way. And I think it allows people to kind of interpret it how they want, but that's probably one of my favorite songs I've released from a production standpoint. I just really like how it turned out.
And me too. And that's why I asked about that.
Yeah. It's a straight up pop song. It's a little different than the other ones. And my friend Alan Romberger, he's like a metal guitar player, and I brought him in. He played guitar for starting like the middle of the song through the end of it. I had to kind of tone down his playing a little bit to match the song, but there's still really a lot of cool elements in there that he did. But on a surface level, it's really just about searching for connection and wanting to be noticed for who you are and the potential you have, and just sort of saying, I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I'm moving forward. And I hope you can see the light inside of me, the potential inside of me.
We keep talking about the punk and pop punk aspect. What do you think? Is there a resurgence happening now in punk and pop punk?
Boy, I hope so. I think there's some great artists out there. I've been digging into a lot of stuff that's come out in like the last decade or so. But I really hope that style comes back more. We've kind of gone through a lot of years where, you know, loud guitars and fast songs has kind of taken a backseat to a lot of synth stuff, a lot of pop stuff, which is, you know, fine. Obviously I enjoy that too, but mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I want things to be loud sometimes.
A few of the songs of Brave Machine get into negative aspects of today's society. Do you think that things were better in the past?
Oh, I don't know. I just complained too much. You know, certain things were probably better, and certain things I'm sure were worse. I think the place where families are at right now, you know, so many families falling apart. And like I said, so many kids being in this confused place about who they are as a person. I don't think that's better for sure. But I think we're at a place in the world's history where having all of the knowledge of all of humanity available at your fingertips, and you can learn anything you want on the internet, and you have unlimited potential to grow as a person if you just take hold of that and become an expert on any subject you want very easily. That's super cool. Like that, I think that sort of thing is way better than the past, just because of the availability of knowledge and information.
Like learning that you are involved with a cowboy church.
I enjoyed my time there, but I'm also glad to be inside of a building.
So we talked about the negative aspects in the world, but you do give hope on the song Path Unseen. Maybe you should explain the song.
Yeah. Paths Unseen, that song, it's really a really old song. It's one of the earliest songs on the album, at least the roots of the song. I rewrote it a bunch, but it goes back to my time in college. And the first college I went to, it was just a small college here in Pennsylvania. But for me, it was the first time I was out in an environment where my worldview was really being challenged. And there was a couple of professors specifically that just went out of their way to push a worldview that was antithetical to Christianity. And for me, that was, I felt beaten down a lot. And those words of the chorus, these days and nights I come to you, finding the strength to do the things that I don't want to, it was about me choosing to live out my Christian faith in a public way in that environment. And when I wrote those words and when I had that kind of attitude shift, I just felt so free then. And then I started enjoying myself there at the college. Unfortunately, that came at the point where I had already decided to not continue there. But for the last few weeks I was there, I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was really cool that you supplied me with a Brave Machine song that hasn't even been released yet. Elvira tells the story of a town being demolished to make way for the construction of a TNT plant.
Yeah, so this is, as a Christian, I'm not gonna make a song that criticizes, you know, any current members of government or anything like that, but I will happily highlight bad things the government has done in the past to remind people what the government is capable of. So Elvira was a small town in rural Pennsylvania. And during World War II, the federal government came in and decided that'd be a really great place to build a TNT factory. Now, where this is at in Pennsylvania, there are thousands and thousands of acres of unoccupied land around there. I don't know why they specifically chose Elvira, other than maybe it was already cleared land with roads. But either way, they came in and used the eminent domain to take the whole town, kicked everybody out, and a week later they had bulldozed the whole thing and started building a TNT factory. And I referenced this in the song, but they told the people that they would get the land back when they were done using it. Mm-hmm. And here we are 80 years later, it never happened. And the government themselves used it for less than a year. And then it became later a federal prison area and state game lands. So yeah, so it's a fun song. It's kind of takes a silly look at it, but it highlights the dangers of government overreach for sure.
Well, that's the thing, because that song and All Hail the Experts really gives me the idea that you don't always trust the government.
As we shouldn't. No. Yeah, I mean, any government throughout history, there's good things and bad things, and you can see examples of them abusing their power, abusing their people. And as I said, I'm not going to make songs that criticize, you know, any specific people currently in government, but I think it's important to understand history and understand that as much as any politician will go on the campaign trail and promise to be your friend and give you all sorts of stuff, man, they're not your friend. They're out for themselves. And yeah, that whole town lost their houses because it seemed like a really good place to make some TNT, I guess.
Lovely. So when are you going to officially release Elvira?
My plan actually for this song is to release it on Bandcamp first, and then sometime early this fall release it to streaming, because I don't know if you're aware or not, but streaming services, they never pay very much to begin with, but they've Spotify specifically has made some decisions this past year that is pretty hostile towards independent artists. So
they're terrible.
Yeah. They specifically won't pay anything, any royalties anymore for songs that get under 1,000 streams in a year, which doesn't sound like that much, but I mean, there's even big name artists who have songs in their back catalog that don't generate 1,000 streams in a year. So my plan, like I said, is to release it first on Bandcamp and give people who really support what I do a chance to, you know, show that directly by buying it on there. And then sometime this fall, it'll release on all the streaming services. Streaming is a blessing and a curse for an artist like myself. Mm-hmm. As someone who's not currently doing shows, streaming services provide an opportunity for people around the world to hear my music that otherwise would have never heard of me through my own efforts. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's great, but it also has devalued creative work much, much more than it even had been previously. So there's certainly a trade-off there. So Elvira is going to release on Bandcamp the day after this episode airs. And then it will release on streaming services sometime this fall.
Because you're a special guy and you're making this show special too.
That's my goal.
You got to give us the story. What comes next for you and your music?
Oh boy. I've always got so many more songs written than I've got time to record. So I've learned a long time ago that my music plans are not always what God's plans are. So I've got Elvira's coming up next. And then my plan is early next year to release either an EP or an album. Just depends on how much gets finished up. And potentially another Christmas song this year. We'll see how that goes.
Sounds good. Listen, Tim, I want to thank you for this talk. It's been great to hear about Brave Machine.
Well, hey, I appreciate you having me on The Antidote. It was great.